This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A small town in Venezuela all the way up, you know, to the show. And it's interesting, a lot of folks, it's funny, you still get the folks that just still thinly veiled have a problem with some of the antics. The antics now that everybody does. It's not antics. It's now standard operating procedure in the big leagues. Talking about the bat flip. Yes, if you don't like it. And again, if it's Juan Soto with the Nationals and then the Padres, now the Yankees, when he does his thing, I know some guys go, well, you don't like it when Soto does it. Well, if you don't like it, stop it. You know, if you don't like Ronald Acuna taking 5 seconds to get around third base, don't let him hit the ball 500 feet. And I don't know. Maybe there was a time I would have been like, yeah, but it doesn't bother me. I don't know. It doesn't do anything.
And here's the thing, Mike. What is the whole initiative for Major League Baseball? To get younger people involved. You know what all the kids who play baseball do now when they round third base? They do exactly what Ronald Acuna does. That is exactly what they do.
Yeah. Now, again, if there's a dad out there right now with a flat top haircut, not on my traveling team. Okay. All right. Well, good for you. I'm just saying.
Let the kids play.
There's things, I don't know, maybe as I'm getting older, there's just things, certain things, yes. You know me, man. I get a bee in my bonnet over things driving me crazy. Like, I hate phonies and frauds like Roger Goodell and stuff, shirts, and I hate more rules and, yeah, authority figures in general. But, you know, guys having fun doing their job doesn't irk me, you know? Like the Caleb Williams thing, and we'll get into the Georgia Bulldog reporter in just a sec, but, like, you know, Caleb Williams has a pink phone cover. So what? Yeah, no. Would I have done nail gloss? It's not my cup of tea, but the world, you know, different strokes for different freaking folks makes the world go around, right?
Yeah, Ronald Acuna, as we mentioned, he just did it for this big piece that we're talking about. He has black nail polish on his fingernails.
I mean, who cares? I mean, you know, Dave Navarro used to have it when his guy got more tail than gets a lot of girls. I mean, who gives a flip, you know? People do different things. Hairdressers have sleeves of tattoos now. You know what I mean? You do you. Who cares?
Yeah, people just have, as you like to say, to steal your phrase, a mean on about certain things because it's the way it's supposed to be, right, Mike, not the way that it is now.
Yeah, and for guys that are new to Dukes and Bell, Chris is filling in for Carl today. He'll be back with us at Twin Peaks up in Kennesaw tomorrow, getting ready for March Madness. We're going to talk about the SEC team still alive, just two of them, coming up in a second. But Carl and I always joke around about this interview that went down years ago, and I don't even remember if it was in Cleveland or Cincinnati, but anyway, Bob Feller went on the radio, and he was asked about, you know, present day baseball. And this guy was a Hall of Famer, an amazing pitcher, but it was just so old fart, kind of old school. Man, these Caribbean players don't know the rules of the game. You're like, well, what exactly do you mean, man? Well, you know, the rules of the game. No, Mr. Feller, I don't know what you mean. And it's kind of been, if you don't listen to the show every day and hear me say, the Caribbean players, why am I saying it like that? We're talking about the old Bob Feller comments. Because that's an older generation. And yes, I get the old arguments. I've heard them a million times. Like in football, you get in the end zone, act like you've been there before. Well, if you're the Falcons, we don't get in the friggin' end zone enough. Let's have some fun when we get there. Who cares?
And also, what is it doing to you?
Yeah.
Why are you offended by something somebody else is doing?
Yeah. I don't get. No, I mean, like I said, would I do it? No. I mean, but look at me. I mean, I get to dress like a bum to come to work and have fun. I don't give a flip how people live their lives. Live and let live.
Yeah.
As long as I don't conflict with my thing, it's all good, baby. There you go. Can't we all get along? Time for the Doc Report.
Bell on the sidelines with the Dogs.
Great job by Orrin. He looked it up. He was on KMOX in St. Louis back in the day. Bob Feller, these Caribbean players, they don't know the rules of the game. Hey, man, the sideline with the dogs. Now, every year, Kirby's got to come up with a new slogan. You know, that doesn't challenge you, doesn't change you. We've had a bunch of them over the years. Sometimes you run out of them. Now, this is one that I first heard back when I was a long snapper. I did not have an illustrious high school football career. I just did one thing. I never got the uniform dirty. All I ever did was get in trouble and have to run laps. But I did remember Coach Snitovsky a few times in between puffs of his Marlboro saying, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. We heard it from Dan Quinn. Iron sharpens iron. Apparently, Chris, a common phrase around the dog football program this spring.
You know, I wonder if there was at any point where Kirby was thinking about this and said, maybe I could have picked any other phrase ever because of how that resonates with a certain group of fans in this city and in this state. Because we all know, back to the guy with the backwards hat and his mottos and his slogans and his jean jackets, that he was a big iron sharpens iron guy. So,
right. I mean, it's not like Kirby can get in front of a microphone and go, we got a new slogan this year in Athens. We are those MFers. No, he can't do that.
That would be awesome.
Jock Peterson, if you guys remember, with the Braves, with the pearls and the whole. Speaking of which, wearing pearls. You got little kids wearing pearls at a Braves game. Speaking of the change in a paradigm, right? But anyway, iron will be sharpening iron. The defensive line is the concern. Jared Wilson thinks that the young group of defensive linemen are going to be kicking some butt, and hopefully, we'll sharpen iron. Again, pushed around by Wilson in future springs. We've been here so long. This is from Mikel Williams. You just know the other's tendencies a little bit. We got to change up our game when going against each other. So, yeah, it's going to be iron on iron between the offensive line and defensive line.
Yeah, and we've seen last year especially, Mike, which was highlighted in their loss to Alabama, the lack of that dominant guy that they've had the past couple of years, like Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and the likes. They were missing that guy last season. It was supposed to be, as we know, the Big Bear, who took his talents out west. He didn't do anything there, so it wasn't like we were missing him anyway. But at the same time, if you want to get back to what was really the key to the back-to-back national championships, along with clutch play from Stetson Bennett, you got to get that big guy up front who can do the damage.
So Jared Wilson anchoring that offensive line, going up against those defensive players, and losing Amarius Mims, losing Cedric Van Pound. I mean, those are difficult shoes to fill. So you just feel that, the old adage, another one that coaches like to use, we don't retool, we reload. So that's one that Georgia people expect them to do it, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just you feel that Kirby this last year was a disappointment. The only thing they couldn't do last year was get Jalen Miller on the ground in the SEC championship. And I know there was one catch that was, some Georgia fans will still say it was not a catch, but hey, you just didn't bring enough to that game.
No.
And you knew what you're going up against, and Saban won another one against Georgia.
Yeah, and Mike, here's the thing too. We talked about it a little earlier in the show. It's really important. You may also not have your stud tailback for a couple of those games because of what happened to Trevor Etienne.
We told you about it yesterday. Hear it from Kirby yesterday, speaking with the media about Etienne and the what's going to happen and how he will be disciplined in light of adjudication.
I really enjoy getting to know him. I think he's a great kid, great person. We've gotten to know his family. He enjoys being coached. He's a bright kid. We push him hard out there, and he really loves the competition. But as we also know, sometimes kids don't make the best decisions. The older you get, sometimes the tougher the consequences are for your mistakes. So he's not going to let this mistake define him. He's embarrassed. He's upset. He knows he's made a mistake. It's a teaching moment, and we hope he gets better from it.
Is it a teaching moment? Because Georgia seems to not have this thing under control yet. I know he wasn't here in the past couple of years, Mike, but is it really a teaching moment for this program that continues to have this really, really, really big issue?
Well, you could argue, I'm not going to make the devil's advocate argument that, ETN, you got to be aware. Everybody in the college football world, everybody in the world of American sports knew what happened with the tragedy, in Athens, and guys getting behind the wheel when they shouldn't, and of course just speeding and racing. And I know that, he's been a guy everybody loved talking about up until this incident, about how the players respect his game. He plugs in and it looks like he's got some edge and attitude. Love him throwing some shade at the Florida Gators, leaving that program. But then to go, you're like, you big dummy, to go do that. It's just, oof. It's rough. But I just think if you look at the past, Kirby does let the process play itself out. I just think there'd be a lot of folks, even as we said earlier, we're getting some texts earlier from Georgia fans to say, look, you got to probably suspend him three. They said, one guy said three games. I think it'll probably be two. But you're definitely not going to see him in the Clemson game at Mercedes-Benz in the Chick-fil-A kickoff classic.
Yeah, and that Clemson game, I'm sorry to say, I know Georgia is who they are, Mike, but that's not a gimme. No. That's going to be a highly contested contest, and you want somebody in there who's going to be able to tote the rock for you, and Trevor Etienne's supposed to be that guy, and he might not be there.
Big statement for – I mean, yeah, his biggest statement is – you know, for Kirby, what about Dabo? You know, Dabo, they just, let's be honest, the Clemson brand taking a lot of shots, you know, they won the Gator Bowl and that was, you know, but still, the season, they had a chance to beat Florida State. His assistant coaches are doing him no favors last year.
I don't know how old you are. Don't really care.
Don't really have a quarterback. Tyler. Yeah, don't have the quarterback.
Right. What's this guy's name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler, I've listened to enough of you.
So, yeah, it was wine and roses when you're beating Alabama, and now, you know, you created a monster. Clemson fans expect you to be what Georgia fans expect Georgia to be every year.
We built this program in God's name, image, and likeness.
I hear you, but you're going to need some NIL, and you're going to need some transfer portal. In addition to that, you know, higher power. Speaking of SEC action, ACC, Clemson doing a great job. Clemson recruits players from Atlanta. Shocking. And we'll see what they can do. Some people feel that Clemson has been, to a degree, living dangerously. It ends against Arizona coming up this week. And I think they'll play them close, but I think the Wildcats take down the Tigers.
Yeah, I agree as well. The matchup I'm looking forward to most is what's going to happen with the Dukies. Because they're all of a sudden, Mike, playing like the team that we might have thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. And they get a really, really good matchup with the Cougars.
But they've been playing the double-digit seeds, and now they get Houston. Houston, look, I think you could argue Texas A&M might have been their big chance to blow it because they had all the foul trouble by the time they had to put Ollie at the line to make the free throw at the end, just like Hoosiers. I think that Houston's going to take them down. Shire's done a really nice job with these guys, but I just think when they're healthy, I think Houston's just going to be able to handle it. And then don't forget, guys, Thursday we'll be at Twin Peaks Thursday night, Alabama and North Carolina. And, boy, this is going to be good. Carolina's a four-point favorite. Alabama's defense could be the weakness in this one.
Yeah, I'm just not entirely sold on the collective or that one there. I think that's more some of its parts than it is outstanding talent. And sometimes in these tournaments, Mike, you know it best. Yes, Cinderella stories are great, but ultimately usually the better team wins.
Hubert Davis, unlike John Calipari, actually has a plan in half court. Dude.
What?
And so that's something that they've argued Alabama's time struggles with. By the way, Calipari did get the vote of confidence from Kentucky. We mentioned that yesterday. He'll be back. They're not going to pay the $33 million to buy him out.
Shocking.
Hey, man, we'll come back. We're going to get more takes from around the league on what the Falcons are doing. Yesterday, we spoke with Randy Muller, former GM, get his take on some of the new rules, where the sport's going, and more importantly, the Falcons back in the playoffs. You'll hear that next right here on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Game.
Let's talk to the man. Randy Miller joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, as we mentioned, writes for The Athletic. And we're not going to talk about you hiring Cam Cameron. Hey, man, first off, what do you think of the moves that the Falcons made? What do you think of Kirk Cousins? How much do you think he's got left in the tank, Randy?
Well, I think they had to make some moves. There's no doubt about it. This is a team that, you guys mentioned it, had been putting along, you know, and needed something to get him over the hump. So sometimes changes can help, and I think they did that. Obviously, a new staff, new systems, new quarterback. Pretty hard to change much more than they have already. So I like the Cousins move. I think it was kind of a sign of they threw up the white flag, right? They had missed on a couple quarterback decisions, obviously, but I think Kirk Cousins is a proven commodity that makes them better without any doubt. And I think in that division, he sure puts them to the front of it. That's for sure.
With these kinds of moves, just give us some insight from your experience. Because we were talking about everybody in the room having to agree, right? Like, when you do these kinds of moves, it's just not the coach going, I like him. The GM goes, I don't. The assistant GM goes, I don't. And then, the scouting department goes, no, we think he's terrible. And then they make the move. Everybody has to be on the same page, don't they, Randy?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think you've got to have consensus, and that's really up to Terry Fontenot to get that consensus. He's got to be a listener. He's got his ideas and his approach, but he does have to listen to others. He's got people around him that he trusts, obviously the coaching staff and the new systems that they're going to install. That has to be a factor in how you fit these players in. I think, obviously, they felt like on offense they needed changes at quarterback, and they needed speed, because this has been a slow-plotting team, in my opinion. They added speed with Mooney. They added speed with Moore. They added a little juice with McLeod. So they felt like it was a slow team, too. That's evident. So I think more than anything, the philosophy is changing a little bit. And one of the undersold parts of Kirk Cousins' game, I think, is the deep ball. So hopefully he brings that with him. These guys that can run fast can run under him, and it makes them a little more exciting and not having to run 8 or 10 or 12 plays. Nothing against Arthur Smith's offense, but that grinding offense usually leads to more mistakes being made by yourself than you are chances to score after 10 or 12 plays. So this gives them some big playability for sure.
Randy, that's like music to Falcon fans' ears, because that's been a major missing component on this team for so many years. Randy Mueller is with us, guys, writes for The Athletic, former NFL Exec of the Year here on Dukes and Bell. And you mentioned the pieces we've added. I mean, it seems like everyone who's left, as far as from an offensive side, who's left Sean McVay, has really excelled and has put his own stamp on that offense. And that's what you see Zach Robinson doing here?
Well, I definitely do. Obviously, it's a new chair for him. I think the bringing along with him of a Kenny Zampezi to kind of help him through that, I do think it's a good change. I think they needed to find some more upside in their offense. Again, it seems like we're beating up on Arthur here, but they needed some ways to throw the ball downfield and to progress through reads, some really higher-level passing game concepts, and I think they'll have that, and nobody better than Sean McVay or to get it from his tree, that's for sure.
Randy, as we talk about the rule changes, do you like what do you like about any of these rule changes? Every year, I think the competition committee does a really good job of going back and saying, how can we make the game better? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. A lot of people think that with the new kickoff rules, we will see more action, we will get more. How do you feel about any of this stuff that you've heard about?
Well, I'll start with that. I like it a lot.
Okay.
I spent 2 years in the XFL, so I kind of have seen this evolve. I was against it to start with when we had this in the XFL. I said, this is kind of crazy. I was kind of like the old guy on the porch, right, telling kids to get off the yard. But I'll say this, I warmed up to it fast. It makes every kickoff watchable. It changes the dynamic of how you go about positioning players on the field. I think fans are going to love it. And I equate it to similar to baseball a year ago. We're talking about a pitch clock and a pitch calm and all that stuff that everybody, all the baseball purists threw up their hands. Now, a year later, we don't even talk about it. And I think that's the way that the kickoff rules will be. It'll be an exciting play. And I'm like the rank and file. I thought the kickoff had become totally irrelevant and a good chance to get up and go get a soda pop. So this is going to change that. There's going to be a ton of more action. They are crease-oriented schemes that I like the fact that coaches are going to have to redesign, re-kind of think and revision how they're going to play these things and how they're going to defend them. With regard to the hip drop tackle, I'm a little lukewarm only from this standpoint. I don't think our referees can take any more. I think these crews as we construct them now, and that's a whole multi-leveled conversation as well, they can barely spot the ball some weeks. I have a problem with that.
Right. I'm with you.
I don't want to give them any more reason to screw things up. But I did hear that they are more apt to legislate this on Monday than Sunday, and I'm for that. Right. If we're going to find players for doing this, we're going to kind of figure it out in a closed-door session in Park Avenue. I'm for that. I'm just not for putting more on these officials because I'm not sure they can handle it.
That's a great call. Nobody ever talks about it, Randy. The NHL does stuff like that where they'll go back and look and just throw some money at somebody, take it out of his paycheck, as opposed to stopping the game and, to your point, giving the refs something else to maybe misinterpret.
No doubt. I think I shudder to think that a call will be made. It probably will, though, that it costs somebody a game because somebody decided they were going to call this and they're really going to find out that they're unsure even how to legislate it. So let the guys who figured out how to pass the rule, let them sort it out this first year. And if we got to find players on Monday, that's a step in the right direction if it makes a safer game.
Randy Mueller's with us, guys, talking NFL, and now we wait for the draft and all the, I guess, misdirection. Were you a guy that would smoke screen it? Would you sandbag when you were GM in the Dolphins? I mean, we hear so much misdirection. Like, do you believe, for instance, that Washington or New England would be looking to trade down out of their picks?
I was not. I had enough to worry about on my own plate, I'll be honest with you. And the same, I was in Seattle for 20 years and probably ran the draft for 8 or 10 of them. And I just don't know how people can really take the time to know how these things are going to go. I would go the other way. I would shut it all out, wouldn't care what was said on TV. No offense to you guys on the radio, but I would shut it all out. And just, I knew what we needed to do. I would gather intel from 2 or 3 sources that I really would trust. And I wouldn't do that till the week before the draft. There's just too much. It's lion season. There's just too much out there. There's too many sources with agendas that are pushing their message. And I never found myself, maybe it's my little pea brain, but I couldn't sort it all out. So I would end up just figuring things out that didn't need to be figured out. So I just shut it all down.
Interesting. Randy Mueller joining us, guys, writer for The Athletic, former NFL Executive of the Year. When we talk about best player available, do you buy into that? Do you believe it yourself, being a former general manager, when you tell us we're going to draft the best player available? Because I don't. I always have been leery about that.
Well, I can say this in with all sincerity. That's the way we did it all the time.
Okay.
I always would go that route. Now, what would make a great pick is when that best player available came at a position of need. And I've been around some guys and some other GMs who would start to fill that depth chart from the first pick of the draft, and that would drive me crazy because we're passing over better players for guys to fill out our depth chart, and we ended up with a bunch of mediocre players when we get to the 3rd and 4th round that we jumped over really good players to draft. And so that's why I never really drafted to fill need. Now, you have to do some of that later in the draft, but I was a best player available guy. Plus, it gives you the option, I think, of moving around. If you have 4 or 5 players in a little cluster and you're good with all of them and they're all graded in the same range, you can surely move up and around and back. And if you can find someone to dance, I always like to do that to maximize our value picking in that first round.
Talking with Randy Mueller about the NFL draft, last week we got a kick out of some of the reaction. Again, maybe you can speak to it, because a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't do a pro day at Ohio State, didn't work out at the combine. Does it have any bearing on any general manager that would put like a Roma Dunze or Neighbors over him?
Well, I don't think him not running or working out is going to change it. I do think the risk he takes is that he, in his mind, thinks he's rated ahead of those guys and doesn't really care what happens. What he told me by not running was that he was okay if he got drafted 4th or 5th or 10th. It didn't matter to him. And that would make me a little nervous, because I think depending on the skill set that you desire and seek, you could find those 3 receivers rated in 3 different spots on 3 different draft boards. So that's just the way it is. And it kind of told me he didn't care. I was more, to be honest with you, more upset that he didn't meet the media at the combine, which is a scheduled event, and he blew that off. So I don't think it's going to matter. I think he's a great character kid. I think he'll play good. But I'll say this, when you watch the film, there is a little bit of doubt sometimes with acceleration and speed and some reasoning that you would definitely want to see him do some things and run, but you're going to have to fill in the blanks on your own now.
Yeah, I sometimes think we overreact when guys don't do the normal things because you know, I totally get it. But at the end of the day, Randy, if he can play.
Right, and the tape, you got the tape.
You're going to draft him, right? If he can play and you think he's a dude, you're going to draft him.
He can, and you will, and people will draft him. So I'm not pushing back on that. I'm just saying that the people around him value him a certain way. NFL teams are a little more sticky about how they value players and how they evaluate him. So there's a risk there. That's all, that everybody sees him as the player that he sees himself as.
Gotcha.
And Randy, we look at the quarterbacks, looking at this year's draft, obviously Caleb Williams heading number 1 out there for the Bears. And then it's just wide open. So do you feel that, I mean, do you believe in J.J. McCarthy? I mean, I love Jaden Daniels. I know he takes a lot of hits, but man, he seems explosive. Right. And then the one that has everybody, either you love him or hate him, where do you fall on Drake May? So talk about all those quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that I've seen a group like this that is such a bipolar reaction we get depending on who you ask. I do believe in J.J. McCarthy. I have liked him since December. I think he's a hard evaluation, so I understand why there's give and take on him. He wasn't asked to do a lot of the things that people have trouble projecting to the next level. I could see it when I watched the tape. I didn't leave the film thinking I have doubts about him. So I like him. I'd have no problem picking him early. And if it was the second pick, so be it, if he fits the scheme that you're going to run. Drake May for me, and again, I think NFL teams will be mum on Drake May only from the standpoint that I think he's a ways away. I think there's some fundamental things that are going to have to, there'll be a learning curve for him. And therefore, I don't kind of value him with these first three guys that we're talking about.
Hmm. Well, great stuff. Always good to talk with you. Looking forward to seeing what all these teams do in the draft, and especially with the Falcons. But you like what we've done so far, right? You do?
I do. I'm glad they got faster. I'm a speed guy, so right. Anytime we can get some fast guys, I'm all for it.
You cannot coach speed, Carl. Thank you. Well, Randy, we'll pick your brain some more, man, either before or after. Thank you so much for coming on.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
And speaking of speed, guys, just found out today that Malik Nabers had a really great pro day down in Baton Rouge. Runs a 4.35 second 40-yard dash. Putting a little more heat on Marvin Harrison Jr. that we were just talking about Randy Mueller with. Randy, we're going to find out. And he said he was kind of passive-aggressive. It still sounds like he's a little irked that Harrison more that didn't talk to the media than doing some of the skills at Combine.
You are not bigger than the system, Mike Bell.
Right. So Nabers, it's going to be interesting until we find out that Marvin Harrison Jr. is doing these individual team workouts. And then does he slip a little bit? Tape doesn't lie. Real quick, one NFL note, Jadeveon Clowney still apparently has enough game. Panthers think so to give him a 2-year, $20 million deal with some incentives. So I know that they moved on from some of their pieces in Carolina, but they will have to contend with Jadeveon Clowney if he's got anything left in the tank twice this season against our Falcons. Coming up, guys, this hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Guy Talk. How do you eat a sandwich? Some say it says a lot about you. And remember when you were a kid, the Jetsons? Are we ever going to have a flying car? I mean, it's 2024. Guess what? There is one. We'll explain next.
Whoa.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
For Guy Talk. It's time for shenanigans. Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where do players play? No baseball tomorrow in Philly. Word coming down to Phillies and the Braves will be postponed till Friday. Friday was going to be an open date, so they'll just move it on down, and Strider will take the bump tomorrow. So, again, as I put on Twitter, game called for rain and bad karma up there in that awful place, Phil. Looks like the Mets going to be rained out too, huh?
Yeah, they're going to be rained out as well in their home opener. And, Mike, we shall see what this means for a Braves squad that I think could have maybe benefited from an opening day and then a day off because, you know what, Mike? All that does is start the trend, which I think is going to start this season, of veteran pitchers needing as much rest as possible.
That's why I still think Bryce Elder is going to have a huge role to play in this season. It's not like he's like, you know, gone. You're not going to see him again. But, you got older guys, and later in the dog days of the pennant race, I'm with you, Chris. It's a good point. This hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. In Guy Talk, we did learn, by the way, guys, it's not looking great. Now, it's not dead, but it's not looking great right now under the Gold Dome down the street for the sports betting bill in the Georgia State Senate and the House of Representatives. Basically, the bill has to get to a vote on the floor this time. We got to start the whole process over next year. You can email, you can find him online and call Representative Chuck Martin. He is the chairman of the committee, which decides if this thing gets a chance to be voted on, right?
Yeah.
And so you can still be involved, guys. Let Georgia decide if we want to be able to bet on sports. It's not that complicated. Let the people decide. And if the people in the big city want to rule out the people in the country, okay, then the majority rule will carry. And the people in the country don't have to do it and don't partake. If you don't want to, no one's putting a gun to your head and saying, bet on the games. I got an email yesterday. I mean, not an email. It was on Twitter. And a guy's like, yeah, you see what's going on in the NBA with gambling? What? Some nobody on the Raptors is never going to play basketball again because a veritable bum decided to tank some games that he had, like, first of all, I can't believe they take action on minutes for some of these guys, like the 10th guy on the bench. But the numbers spiked, and it was like more money was bet on, was it Jonte Palmer? What's his name?
Yeah, something.
Jonte Palmer. Palmer was a Formula One racer. Yeah, bum. But more money was bet on him than even like big names like Harden or, you know, or Durant or even LeBron, you know. And so it was a red flag for the sports gambling operations. But that has nothing to do with, we're talking about raising money for the Hope Scholarship. If and when this ever comes on board, and maybe someday some people feel it's a Pandora's box, so be it. More jobs working in casinos and hotels and not losing out to neighboring states. So we are behind this 100%. All our local teams are behind this. The Braves, the Hawks, the Falcons, United, everybody, man. Get on board. Yeah. So, again, Chuck Martin's the dude. He's the gatekeeper on this one. He's the committee chairman. Find his email. Get a message out to your rep to say, let's at least get – you guys vote on it, and then give us a chance to vote on this thing. Let's go. Not that complicated.
So today the update was, and this is from Robert Linehan, XL, who writes for XL Media, a very good site covering gambling and sports and the like. He says that no action will be taken today on the Georgia sports betting bill. However, there will be another meeting tomorrow at 8 a.m., a last-ditch effort to perhaps get the bill passed.
All right, so there's still keep hope alive for sports gambling, and we talked about it a number of times. I just think it's pretty. I mean, there's nothing you distill it, break it down, let people vote, and then we can see where we go down the road. We already have gambling, thanks to Zell Miller. We have the lottery. Okay, I say it every time. I'll say it one last time. You can't be a little bit pregnant. We already have it. We've already crossed that threshold. Let's just move it on so we can all enjoy stuff that everybody on half the country is doing right now. All right, get off my soapbox. How do you eat a sandwich, brother? You dive right in the middle of the sandwich or you work from the crust over?
I am not an animal, Mike Bell. I cut my sandwich in half, okay, right down the middle. And if you do anything otherwise, you may not be from this planet.
Well, this is going viral. A viral debate today basically erupts over how people properly eat a sandwich and what it says about your personality. So, you know, it's, again, no, I thought there was no wrong answer. I generally don't just go right in the middle of the cut. First of all, the sandwich is cut in half. Because if you take that big, big sloppy bite in the middle, you're going to get probably, if you got mayonnaise or mustard on your sandwich, it's going to spooge out a little bit, and you're going to have to go to the napkin. I generally work, or I know you can't speak, the mic's not working. You go from the corner and work your way over. Yeah, exactly. Like you're playing a harmonica. You're working from left to right. Anyway, debaters have been split into three camps. Those who take a big bite out of one crust, people go straight and for the tempting piece in the middle of the sandwich, and those who nibble a corner, like when you're a squirrel and you work your way around. Or you cut your crust off, which is a whole other psychological issue.
No, well, I will say, got to call out our guy O here. He is the king of the Smucker's Uncrustable. Really? That is perhaps his favorite food.
What's the problem with the crust, man? Again, Orrin can't respond. You can go online, just look for the debate. No sane human being comes across the sandwich scenario and goes for the middle bite, some people say.
No.
Yeah. Social media users had strong opinions. It's kind of like the toilet paper argument. You go over or under and how you pull the toilet paper off the roll.
I'll never understand the over people. You pull it under, it's already in a position to be pulled, Mike.
I'm with you. I've always been the under guy.
Me too, anyway, man.
But it's out there. You just go on TikTok and on social media and go crazy, and then the Chinese level information. Speaking of which, over in China, they are saying they apparently bought the proprietary technology that a company in the Czech Republic started. The flying car is finally going to be a thing. It's a BMW-powered flying car. It's been test-flown successfully in Europe, known as the air car. Propeller, kind of like something you'd see in a James Bond movie, like the wings kind of switchblade out. And then next thing you know, you're in the air. And it looks like you can go as high as about 9,000 feet. How about that?
I'm not getting in a flying car, my bell.
Dude, I've been waiting for this. When I was a kid, didn't you think we'd have hovercraft, Jetsons, all that stuff? All the things you saw in the Jetsons if you're a certain age, you thought we'd have. Now, we do have treadmills you can walk your dog on, but we don't have the flying car. Flying car, we kind of have drones, which can bring you your food and everything else. But this one is interesting. The prototype cost $2.3 million to develop. It's not clear how much this Chinese company, Hebei Jiaxing, has paid for this technology. But the license agreement grants the company exclusive rights to make this sucker, distribute it, and certify flying cars. And they actually look pretty cool.
But what about the air traffic rules?
Well, you're going to have to get you'll have to get a pilot's license with your driver's license. I mean, there's going to be regulatory issues to this thing if we ever get it on the road. You won't be able, when you're blasting on 285, all of a sudden say, okay, I've got enough room now to just whoosh, pop the wings out and go, because obviously you're going to hit other cars. So, and you can't come down and land on the road. And then, I mean, unless it was a wide open country road. I mean, there's going to be rules about this at some point.
I mean, we're essentially turning this into Transformers, Mike Bell, and I don't like it.
Hey, there's more than meets the eye. I'm down with it. I mean, I don't like it coming from China, but I am excited about the prospect of the flying car. Something I thought we'd have by now anyway. Hey, we talked earlier in the NFL Blitz. Bob Kraft and now numerous Patriots, former Patriots players, are very upset about this new documentary coming out on Apple TV. I guess he was talking to the media as part of the owners' meetings. I feel it's been very slanderous and it's been very derogatory in their presentation of the magical run by New England. That's Bob Kraft's take. Julian Edelman pops off, goes on a podcast. He says, Wes Welker, who's apparently in this and takes some shots at Belichick, says, we all knew you never liked Belichick, Wes. So you got some short, plucky white receiver on short, plucky white receiver violence here.
Listen, Julian Edelman, Gronk, Brady, they're all the golden children of that dynasty era. So You know what my take from that was, Mike? Of course Julian Edelman's going to camp up for the Patriots in that case. Wes Welker, Danny Amendola, those were the guys that couldn't get it done.
Hey, Wes Welker was talking about other things, and this is what I guess irked Edelman. He goes, Welker's out there saying like Aaron Hernandez got away with murder, figuratively speaking, at practice. Now, poor choice of words, obviously.
Very.
That's not even true. Says Welker painted a picture. Aaron Hernandez was like king. He got to do anything. I don't know about that. Our good buddy George Gotze used to coach the tight ends up there, former Georgia Tech quarterback. He tells some interesting stories about next time we get Goose on, he can tell you some stuff. But, I think it's kind of interesting to have maybe an unvarnished look, you know, at this deal. As Chris said, there was a lot of shenanigans out there. It's on Apple TV. It's called The Dynasty. It's a 10-part series. And I thought the Tom Brady thing kind of covered some of the Patriots stuff. Obviously, Brady produces. It was pretty glowing.
Yeah, I'm not exactly a fan of what these sorts of documentaries are trying to turn into. Because, Mike, I don't know if you agree with me on this. It feels like every single one of them is just trying to replicate The Last Dance, and they're just not doing it as well.
Right.
So if it's going to be an interesting, unique look into a team or a franchise I'm interested in, I'm down. But if it's going to be another carbon copy 10-part series just to be a 10-part series, even, I will say, growing up a Yankee fan, they did the Jeter one. I wasn't that interested in it. Why? I didn't really learn anything. He's a good guy. He was a good player. He's kind of aloof and off to his own, doing his own thing. And yeah, you need 8 episodes to tell me that? I'm good.
Hey, man, we'll get more details on this. I saw the story that broke earlier today about the proposed South Forsyth, the gathering at South Forsyth.
Yeah.
About the $2 billion project, and the county approves a $225 million deal. There's an article. I got to read it more, but I'll try to make some heads or tails of what this actually means about this, because I thought, in principle, the county was on board, right, with the facility.
Yeah,
which would be the first step. I know that there's another group which has things further down by old North Point Mall footprint, right, Oren? That would be the Anson Carter group that's involved with right now with the Gladiators.
I saw the phrase shovels in the ground, and I got excited.
Well, look, we all want some puck, man. You know me. I just love hockey. Matter of fact, the Rangers just clinched for the earliest time in their history. I'm looking forward to getting up to the Garden. And that's the thing. There's nothing like playoff hockey. By the way, we're going to be on at Gas South next Thursday, getting ready for some Gladiators as well. We love puck around here. Tomorrow, Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Hope to see you out. Carl will be back. Chris is in. All right. What the heck are we going to do at that 8th pick? Couple of NFL insiders think it's going to be what it should be. Edge rush. We'll dive into that. Also, if you missed Dave Archer, our first chance to catch up with Archer about all the moves in the offseason, what this offense is going to look like. Is the offensive line equipped? What's the edge rush going to be? All that coming up in the big, meaty 5 o'clock hour. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate, Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.